For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Yeah! Sorry, wasn't ready. Yeah! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The fourth and final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Up State. Robin, the great one, Lonzo with you. On a Tuesday, on a Monday morning. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to get on the air, now's your opportunity. You can also shoot us a text, 71307, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. And do not forget, the Ray Memorial Hotline is open for you. Go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on all your digital devices. And once you do, go to the Fan Up State page. Click the heart button. That way, every time you open the Odyssey app, it'll take you straight to the station. You can listen to us 24/7, 365. And right in the middle of the page next to the Listen Live button is a little circle with a microphone on the inside of it. You click that button. You can leave a 30 to 60-second voice note on the Odyssey app that comes directly to the great one and I. We will listen to those after the show. And from this day forward until the end of time, or I get fired, whichever comes first. The next day, as part of the audio blitz, will be the Armada audio of the AM. It is the best voice note that we got from one of y'all. You will be featured. No matter what your take or opinion or thought or observation or anything else, one of you will have your voice note played the next day on the show as part of our Armada audio of the AM during the audio blitz. So, go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, grab that, and become a part of the show with the Ray Memorial Hotline. We'd love to have you as a part of it. All right, I'm going to get to this real quick. Earlier in the year, I was beating up on Shano a little bit, on old Shane Beamer a little bit. And I was beating him up, and what I thought was at the time, and I still think, I am going to say, I am going to apologize, though I was not wrong, okay? I was right. I had some criticisms about Shane. I had some criticisms about the program. I had some criticisms that, again, I think were justified and fair at the time. Those criticisms were primarily that I did not love the play calling for the South Carolina Gamecocks. I thought it limited the athletic production out of some of your better players. I thought that it was predictable. I thought it was boring. In fact, a lot of it was very similar to criticism that I had levied towards Dabo Swinney and Clemson over the last year and a half. Boring, passive play calling that limited your best athletes doing their best athleting. I thought it was a problem. And Shane said, hey, say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Run it how you want to run it. Let's just keep the path, right? I got a plan. I got an idea. And you're just going to have to, and this has kind of become a staple of head coaches, trust the process. Well, after South Carolina got hammered by the Ole Miss Running Rebels. By the way, the same Running Rebels who just hammered the Georgia Bulldogs. So that loss doesn't look quite as bad as it did back in the Dizay a few weeks ago. Lonzo came in here on Monday and he said, Rob Brown, you know what I need you to do? I need you to relax. I need you to relax because it was one bad game. And I said, it's not so much about the game or the result. It's about the lack of discipline. It's about the lack of development. Those were the two words that I used. And then there was another word that I used a bunch of times to describe this program, the C word, consistency. I said, I don't see consistency. I don't see consistency in the development of Lenora Sellers. I don't see consistency in the game plan for Rocket Sanders. I don't see consistency across the offensive line. And all these things are problems. All these things are major problems that need to be addressed. Or else you're just spinning your wheels in the muck. You're not going to go anywhere. Well, here we are, a handful of wins later, including a win on the road at Oklahoma, including a win against Vanderbilt, a team that has already beat Alabama and took Texas to the limit in that exact same house that you guys played in this weekend. You guys went there, held them to 7 points, put 28 up on the board, and won the game. There was no point during that game on Saturday. None. I got off the air, off a bet for the cycle at 4. I walked out to the living room, and the lady and I watched this game. There was no point during the game Saturday. I watched the first half, then we left, and I went to the hockey game. But I want you to know, as I stood in the tunnel for the Swamp Rabbits game, I had it on my phone sitting on the desk. So I was watching this game.
I hate to do this, but how'd that go Saturday night?
Star Wars night was spectacular, had 8,000 people in the building, lightsabers blazing, phenomenal evening, and no, I did not bust my ass on the ice.
All right.
Yeah, the boots were great. They were great. To the point that I'm like, maybe I just wear riding boots now. That's a joke. I'm not doing that. I will wear silk pajamas, and they are very nice. Very nice. Right? Moisturize people. So, I was watching this game in the tunnel. And about midway through the fourth quarter, because there was a spot there where after Diego Pavia scored, it was like, all right, you either have to answer that or there's a problem. And South Carolina answered. And I was standing there, and there were probably two or three of the dudes from the hockey team that were kind of down there in the tunnel warming up. The players go and they warm up in the guts of the stadium behind the tunnel where I hang out during the game. And a couple of them came over, and we were watching the game on my phone. And South Carolina answered. The game plan didn't change. It didn't feel like there was any panic. It didn't feel like Shane and Dow Loggins and Clay White were like, uh-oh, they did it good. Now we got to change everything. Which I think has been a concern of mine about this team in years gone by. It felt to me like you knew what was working. You knew what was working, and you just went right back to it. This has been a problem I've had with a lot of teams. Why in the world? Because a team has a drive that is successful or a defensive stand that is successful, especially when you are up 3 touchdowns and now just 2. Why would you change the thing that is working? I was watching to kind of put it up to the mirror and include everyone. We're a very inclusive program here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I was watching the Clemson game this weekend. Of course, Clemson on the road against Tech. Clemson needed a win in the worst way. After that Louisville embarrassment, needed a win in the worst way. Clemson finds himself down 7-0 early because a kick got blocked and returned. Block kick for a 6. And I was like, uh-oh. Because on the next offensive drive, Kate and the boys are on the sideline. And while the play call's going in, over comes Dabo. And he's just kind of hovering over the shoulder of Garrett Riley, watching the play get called. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it, Dabo. Don't do it. Your offense finally opened up. Cade finally was starting to break open. Yeah, you had a bad game against Louisville. Don't change what was working. That is a fear that even some of the most experienced and successful head coaches in every level of football fall victim to. When something is going well and then one bad thing happens, They just scramble it and change the whole thing up. Oh, no, they scored on it. What did South Carolina do? They didn't change a damn thing. They went right back to the well of what was working. We're going to give the ball to Rocket. We're going to let Rocket do Rocket things. And while Rocket is doing Rocket things, we're going to make sure that Lenora Sellers has everything that Lenora Sellers needs to be successful. And you are. You put a tutty back on the board, you got that big lead back, and you kept it at three touchdowns the rest of the night. I said this earlier in the show, and I'm going to say it on the show again. I genuinely believe that a lot of South Carolina fans better be sending an edible arrangement over to Shane Beamer's office today to give to the coordinators there. I think a lot of y'all better be sending over some gift baskets to those coordinators. Because during the offseason especially, but even earlier in the season after the Ole Miss loss, a lot of y'all were calling for those coordinators to be relieved of their duties. The number one criticism of Shane Beamer, at least in the last year or two, certainly since I've been covering this team, or since he showed up when I was covering this team, the biggest criticism of Shane has been that he lets his buddies coordinate and he's afraid to make big program defining changes, firings and hirings, because y'all wanted the coordinators gone. And listen, this isn't to say that they're just like free of criticism from this point forward. There's still a lot of questions that are going to have to be consistently answered moving forward. But Shane said, these are my guys, trust me, trust the process. And if you trusted Shane and trusted the process, South Carolina's bowl eligible after 9 games. Most of y'all were carrying on about, you know, the offense being bad and Lenora Sellers and I was one of you, just so we're clear. Most of y'all were carrying on about the offense not being good, about Lenora Sellers not developing. That young man has taken such a leap forward over the last couple of weeks that I have to now turn around and give credit to Dow Lawkins. And I think it's because the game plan has been set. The game plan looks better. I think it is because the game plan has been, you know what? We know what we got in this kid under center. We know what he's capable of. But the best that he is capable of is brought out when Rocket Sanders is doing Rocket Sanders things. When we are focusing in on him. When he's getting 22 touches a game. When he's getting his touches. The field opens up for Lenora Sellers. Linebackers are having to stay home. When linebackers are having to stay home, what else does that do? Aside from opening up the field down the field, what else does it do? It also means that when Lenora Sellers is pressured, because again, it's a better performing, but it's still a very average offensive line. When the offensive line is playing average ball and defenders are getting pressure on Lenora Sellers, what is this doing? Well, when linebackers are having to stay home, stay back, because they've got to play run-first defense, when that is happening and Lenora Sellers is pressured, it gives Lenora Sellers room to escape. It gives him the opportunity to improv behind the line of scrimmage. It gives him the opportunity to use his legs as a weapon and to open up the field that way. And all of a sudden, you're feeling it with this offense. All of a sudden, even when it looks like heavy pressure, like even the wife watching this game, right? There was a point, it was that big, the big play I talked about earlier, where it looked like Lenoris was dead to rights, like 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And he shrugs a tackle, and he gets loose, and he sneaks out to the left-hand side. And even the wife, he's 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. This is a spot that earlier in the year, she would have said words that I can't quote on the radio because the FCC would murder me. She looks, and she, as he starts to scramble out wide, she goes, oh, he's gone. And I thought she meant, like, he's cooked. He's getting sacked. He's done. Nope. She goes, he's gone. He's done. I said, what are you talking about? She said he's going to run. He's going to pick up yards. And he did. And he did. He is seeing the field in a more complex way now. It is not what it was earlier in the season, which was wide receiver one, wide receiver two, tuck it and go. Now, because Rocket is feeling himself a little bit, now you can run a little bit more complicated pass structure because defenders are having to play more honest with him going, with Rocket going. And now you can put less pressure defensively on Lenora Sellers. And with less pressure on him, you can see, at least to me anyway, I think maybe I'm being optimistic, I don't know. But it feels to me like I can see a different quarterback in the pocket, yeah? It feels to me like I can see a quarterback sitting back there in the pocket that is more comfortable, that is more confident. It looks to me like I can see a quarterback sitting back there in the pocket that not just trusts the offensive line more, but trust himself more. Trust himself more. Now I feel like I am seeing a quarterback that doesn't feel panicked. Those happy feet are gone. Now when those feet start going, it's because he's going, not because he's terrified he's about to get smoked. And now all of a sudden, now those, oh crap, bleep it, rockets down the field, like the one that lost you the Alabama game. Those don't seem to be there anymore. Now when he steps up into the pocket and he lifts one down the field, now it feels like it's intent. It's got intent. Now it feels like those passes have a purpose. Like there's a target on the end, not a, oh crap, I hope somebody catches this. Now it feels like he knows exactly who he wants to catch it and where. And when the pocket does break down, because again, average offensive line. Now when the pocket does break down and he tucks that ball, now it feels like he's running for a purpose more than just don't get hit, don't get hit, don't get hit, don't get hit. Now he feels like a weapon. It has gone from scrambling and running down the field is a last resort for Lenora Sellers. Now it feels like there's intent to it. There's purpose to it. And I didn't get that vibe the first 4 weeks of the season. Dell Loggins deserves some credit for that. He deserves some flowers for that. He deserves some apologies from some South Carolina fans for that. All right, let's take a break. Got a few more things I want to get to before we roll up out of here. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina Panthers get a win in overtime over the New York Giants. Yes, the Giants are a garbage program right now. They're bad, dude. They're real bad. Danny Dimes ain't it. Oh, wait a minute. 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 Lonzo, I think we, you know what? I think it's just because we had the conversation about it earlier. I think we break the glass. Breaking news brought to you our friends at BetQL. Be a better, better, be smarter. Beat the books with BetQL. Grab the BetQL app. And don't forget to listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to 4 with myself and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker as we take you around the world of sports and sports wagering on Bet for the Cycle. Adam Schefter reporting that Shane Waldron is out as the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. Thomas Brown is expected to take over. Thomas Brown was a former offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, was relieved of duties when Dave Canales came in and effectively took over that position. He will be now calling the plays for the Chicago Bears moving forward, which is good news for two reasons. Number one, it's wonderful news for Caleb Williams, because the strategery with which Shane Waldron was calling plays was bad. Number two, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to listen to this again. Stop, Bears! That is Dave Swirsky on X, if you want to toss him a follow for that remarkable rendition of Kansas's Dust in the Wind turned into Bears Lost, They Must Win.
I think that's a name of one of the characters.
Well, that's what he goes by on X?
I'm just saying.
So that's what I'm tagging him
at. I'm pretty sure that's...
Oh, I'm sure it is. But that's what he goes by on X. So
no, it makes it more awesome that he's
Dave Swirsky. We all, Dave, Big Dave. We all love Big Dave. Three heart attacks so far, Big Dave. But he just keeps pulling through for the Bears. First off, love that immensely. Second off, ladies and gentlemen, once again, another illustration of the fact that if you throw a rook immediately in when you have him playing for what is known as a garbage franchise and you expect immediate returns, you're going to be disappointed. You're just going to be disappointed. And then when you tag that along with a coaching staff that you already know is a failure. This is something that at least I can give Carolina credit for. When they went and traded the bank away to get Bryce Young, at least they rolled over with the new coaching staff, right? At least they said, all right, what we have didn't work. We're going to go get a guy that we think may not work out, but a guy that we think can work to bring along a new quarterback. And they went with Frank Reich. Now, it ended up being an abysmal hire. Frank Reich started at 9-1 before he was let go.
No.
Sorry, 1-9.
Strike that, reverse it.
Thank you, Willy Wonka. Correct. It did not go great at all. So, at least they tried. At least they didn't roll out Matt Rhule for another one, right? They went, nope, this ain't it. This ain't working. Gotta go. Let's try something new. Chicago said, hey, you know that guy that took us last year and ruined us? Well, yeah, we're going to run it back one more time. Much as I have said with Mickey Loomis down in New Orleans, the number one fault that I will have with any general manager, in Chicago's case, it's Ryan Poles. The one fault that I will have with a general manager, Jerry Jones is the absolute epitome of illustration for this, is when they refuse to acknowledge that something's not working, because in acknowledging that something is not working, they have to acknowledge that what they decided to do wasn't the right thing. Jerry Jones is never going to acknowledge that he's made a bad decision. He's just never going to do it. So I said the Dallas Cowboys are going to be bad until Jerry Jones dies, because the only guy that can fire Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. Ryan Poles can be fired. Now, granted, the ownership of the Chicago Bears don't care, clearly, or else they do something differently. But they genuinely do not care. Matt Eberflus was not working. This was my entire takeaway the entire offseason about the Bears. And it wasn't that I particularly care about whether the Bears are good or not. I could give a crap less. In fact, there's always been a little bit of coldness in my heart for the Bears. Not because of Chicago fans. There's always been a little bit of coldness in my heart towards Chicago because the New Orleans Saints in 2006, after Hurricane Katrina, went up to Chicago to play in the NFC Championship game with a ticket to the Super Bowl on the line. And the very first thing that came across my TV screen was a Bears fan holding up a sign that said Chicago's going to finish what Katrina started. And I went, yeah, hope you guys never win another game forever and ever and into eternity. So I kind of, just because
who's
of that
Colonel Grudge now,
you know, there's they made fun of my tight end's girlfriend, And then there's, oh, what's that? A few thousand people died? We'll make a joke about that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a line. And I'm a big dark joke guy. But it was like, bro, that happened like a couple months ago. Like, give it some time, right? Anyway, put that aside. That's a personal beef. What I will say is I don't really care about the success or failure of the Chicago Bears. I am invested in Caleb Williams. And I'm invested in every highly touted rookie quarterback on whom pressure expectations are heaped from year one. Why? Because I do not think it is fair. I don't. And just so we're clear, I include Jaden Daniels, a guy that I am super high on. Like, Jaden Daniels is the first quarterback since Lamar Jackson that I said, that guy's going to be a bona fide superstar. There's no question. This isn't a prediction. This is a statement of fact. This man's going to be a superstar. Felt that about Jaden Daniels then, still feel it about him now, feel like I'm justified in saying it now. But I would also make the argument that Washington did something that Chicago failed to do. What Washington did was they said, all right, we're going to put massive expectations on this kid. How do we give him the best chance to succeed? And what did Washington do? They went and built a team around him. They went and got Scary Terry and got him set up with a contract so he would be the best version of himself. And they went and got Cliff Kingsbury. Part of the reason that I took out a ticket on Washington winning the division this year was because of Cliff Kingsbury. Wait a minute, Rob. Didn't he get his ass whipped in Arizona? Yes, he did. Yes, he did as the head coach. Cliff Kingsbury is, and I use this term often on the show, as far as I'm concerned, the definition of the Peter principle. Everyone gets promoted to one level above their competency. Everyone is capable in any given field of accomplishing X. And anything past that, it's just beyond their natural capabilities. And that's okay. This is why I say always and ever to kids that I am mentoring, teaching, whatever, whatever, whatever. Do what you're good at. Find what you're good at and do that. Because if you do something that you're not good at, you can only go so far. And here's the thing. Everybody loves you when you're succeeding. Everybody loves you, but the minute you start to fail, people turn on you. People love you when you're doing the thing. But when you start to fail, for whatever reason you might be failing, people turn on you really quickly. So do what you're good at and just get better at it. Cliff Kingsbury is not a head coach. We know that now. But he's a damn good offensive mind. And he knows how to be a damn good offensive mind when he has a quarterback like Jaden Daniels and not the office of the head coach and the responsibilities that come with that office hanging over his head. So he goes out to Washington, D.C., takes over as the OC. He's got exactly the quarterback that he needs. He builds a team around that quarterback to succeed, and he runs an offense that fits what Jaden Daniels can do. There's the old, what is it, Maya Angelou. So when someone tells you who they are, believe them. Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus have told you exactly who they are. And yet Chicago refuses to believe them. So they brought him back for one more ride, and they risk ruining at least the early portion of Caleb Williams' career with that. This is why I am always, always, always a proponent of sitting young quarterbacks. Bryce Young should have been sat down for year number one. Caleb Williams, yes, number one overall pick. Caleb Williams should have been sat down for year number one. Honestly, Jaden Daniels is probably, since Lamar Jackson, the only quarterback that I can think of that I would make the argument to the contrary. No, that guy was ready to go from day one. But that is also why he is the first quarterback since Lamar Jackson that I said, you can start that guy week one. That guy gets it. That guy understands it. That guy knows it. Drake May was not that guy. Caleb Williams was not that guy. Bryce Young was not that guy. These guys are not those guys. Jaden Daniels is that guy. And that's not to say Jaden Daniels will always be better than them. That is to say he played a different game that was NFL ready. Those cats weren't. And then you pair them up with bad head coaches and bad franchises. Of course they fail more than they succeed. At least Chicago made a move here. At least they decided to try something here. We'll see if it works out or not. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap the show up. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. The Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you here on a lovely Upstate Tuesday morning. Been kind of all over the place today. Talked a little college football. Got into Clemson and South Carolina earlier. Talked about the Panthers win over the New York football Giants, which, by the way, and we kind of in that last segment really spent more time talking about the breaking news that took place. The Chicago Bears have fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. Former Panther offensive coordinator Thomas Brown will take over play calling responsibilities for the Bears moving forward. So let's finish up the thoughts we were having about the Panthers Sunday morning win over in Germany, Allianz Stadium, against the New York Giants. As has been mentioned, and let's start with this, the Giants are, say it with me, bad at football. They're not very good. They made a lot of mistakes this offseason, and they are paying for them now. Still a great win for the Panthers. Because, and we've had this conversation on the show before, step one, beat the bad teams. Step two, compete with the good teams. Step three, beat the good teams, compete with the great teams. Step four, beat the great teams, become a great team. Carolina went out there and has now defeated in back-to-back weeks for the first time since 2022, back-to-back bad teams. It is the first two-game win streak since 2022 for this team. Beat the bad teams. You did one at the house. You did the other one over in Deutschland this past weekend in Munich. It's a foundation, man. It's a foundation. And I think for me right now, foundation has become the key word for this organization. I need a foundation. Let's start with, obviously, the one that all of us have been talking about for a very long time now. And that's the foundation on which Bryce Young is building right now. Bryce Young felt like a different quarterback the last 2 weeks, really dating back to the Denver game 3 weeks ago. Felt like a different guy. I think you can see that confidence level starting to build back up. I think my man hit a bunch of throws, 15 to 25, and I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm glad Zach just showed up in the chat and said what he said. Bryce didn't look bad at all. Does he look like a Pro Bowler? No. Does he look like a world beater? No. Does he look like a guy that can go out there and single-handedly win you a football contest or seven? No. But that's not what this team is built to be around Bryce Young. This team is built to be a team that runs the football, pounds the football, and opens up the door for Bryce to occasionally make a throw down the field that can move the chains for you. And you got that. You were dealing with Xavier Legette with a busted up hand. It happens. You had a bunch of stuff going on that this team had to work around and consider. And Bryce Young had, I believe, 3 footballs hit the ground. Hit the ground. You are honestly looking, in my ever so humble opinion, you were probably looking more along the lines of like 18 of 25 for 190 and a touchdown, maybe 2. But a couple of guys put the football on the ground. This is the other thing I've said. I love what we're seeing out of Xavier Legette. I think Xavier Legette is showing you that he absolutely has the potential to be a genuine wide receiver one. Genuine X receiver. Outside of that, you ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. Your offensive line, much better. Much better play out of the offensive line. Still not great. Still needs an upgrade. But those two guards, by the way, that Chuba Hubbard rushing touchdown, if you haven't gotten to go back and watch that, please go watch that play. It's boring. It's a short little run, right off guard, just plow into the end zone and score a tutty. Go watch Lewis and Hunt, the two guards, on that play. I mean, man, they executed in a way that should be the textbook of how you teach young offensive guards how to play that position. Explosive first step, low to the ground, low center of gravity, drive through the legs, collapse onto the center, and then all three of you just form a battering ram through the chest of the nose guard. It was textbook. Offensive line, goal line, jumbo set, man's game, big boy football. That's it. That's it. That's the thing. That's what this team is predicated on. That is what that team needs to continue to lean on. That is what this team needs to roll forward with. And do you know what happens when that becomes the number one thought? The field opens up for the rook. This is what we talked about with Lenora Sellers earlier. It's the same concept. I got a quarterback early in the season who doesn't look super confident. I got a quarterback early in the season who looks like he's a no-read QB. Looks like a guy that's going to go X, not open, Y, not open. Okay, I got to do something. I got to throw it out of bounds. I got to try to make something happen. I got to do something outside of the norm here. And it never really went well. I think both Carolina and South Carolina have done something that should be applauded. They said, you know what? We got a running back there. We got a dude back there. We got a guy back there that we can lean on. We got a guy back there that we can rely on. We got a guy back there that we now know that we can put the ball in his chest, and we can trust that something is going to happen here. And what it did was open up the field for both of those guys. What it did was open up the field for both of those guys to have more time, to see their reads, to progress through the reads, and to not be happy feet chopping it up in the pocket, waiting for the hit that is inevitably coming. Instead, what I saw was two young quarterbacks, two young guys that were capable and comfortable in just playing quarterback, man. Just throwing the football, just figuring out how to throw, how to catch, how to make football plays happen. The offenses have become progressively more dedicated to the strengths of the quarterbacks and getting them away from the weaknesses. And Lenora Sellers and Bryce Young have both looked like different dudes the last couple of weeks because of that. And I think the coordinators, in this case, Dave Canales for Carolina, Dow Loggins for South Carolina, I think they deserve credit for that. Did Bryce Young blow anybody off the stat sheet? No, of course not. 15 to 25. Again, should have been 18 for 25 for like 190 instead of 150 or whatever it turned out to be. But I got to start somewhere. I got to start somewhere. And I feel like you've got to start with both of these teams. Now, Lonzo and I have already said this team's winning at most one more game. May not win another one. Schedule, unfortunately, is very back-end heavy. You've got Kansas City in there. You end the season on back-to-back roadies to Tampa and Atlanta. I mean, there's one team left that can be beat, and that's the Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush as the quarterback, or Trey Lance, whoever they decide to go with. That's a winnable game at home. Four wins might be it. I don't care. This exact reason is why I said to you as Carolina fans coming into this year, do not predicate a successful season on wins and losses. Do Do not predicate a successful season on wins and losses, because you will walk away from this disappointed. You will walk away from this bummed out, because you ain't winning more than five games. I think you're winning four. Three is on the table. But you're at three. There are six teams in the NFL that have identical or worse records than you. That's a better spot than you thought you were going to be in terms of the W and L column. But to me, this was less about the W and L column, and this was more about the development column. This was more about, do you end this year with a solid foundation moving to next year? And the answer to me is, where we're at right now, yeah. At least you're laying it, right? Now, just like a house, you can put that concrete foundation down, and then somebody can come along and walk across it and muck it up, and now you got to tear the whole thing up and put it back down. But right now, Dave Canales, as far as I'm concerned, is laying a solid foundation. The running game has gotten better. The offensive line has gotten better. Bryce Young has gotten better. The wide receiver core, for the lack of talent it has on paper, has gotten better. Even with the subtraction of Deontay Johnson, who, by the way, got five snaps for the Ravens this past week and is already blowing up that locker room. So maybe paying them to take him off your hands was a good thing. I'm happy. I'm happy with what I saw out of Carolina, because I saw a foundation. I saw a base. I saw improvement from BY. I saw improvement from Chuba Hubbard after you paid him. I saw improvement from the offensive line. I saw improvement from the wide receivers. And even with a banged all to hell defense, the defense, when ice water was required, served it up and finished that game. I am happy and impressed with the foundation that is being laid in Charlotte, North Carolina right now.
And just like that, it's time for What the X, the show flew by today on Tuesday, which Rob had to correct me earlier. I didn't realize that was Tuesday. I thought it was Monday for some reason.
I didn't bring it up.
All right. The first thing it's Xing is Black Panther 3.
So there was a Disney Expo this weekend. I actually believe it was like down in Brazil. There was a Disney Expo this weekend. And this Disney Expo rolled out a bunch of trailers for upcoming MCU movies. We got the new trailer for the
Thunderbolts.
We got the new trailer for Captain America, a.k.a. Sam. And I'm assuming, though I have not seen it yet, we did not get one for what? So what's... Well, then I don't know why it's
true. Okay, it's because Denzel Washington has confirmed that Ryan Coogler, the guy who writes and directs Black Panther, is writing a part for him in Black Panther 3.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm not upset about that at all. I'm down for some Coach Boone.
Well,
in the game,
they lost some firepower from two, because you know was Angela Bassett, I believe, was the mom.
Yes,
and she died. So I mean, so you bring in Denzel to take care of that part. So
fine with me.
Yeah, me too. All right,
she was great, by the way. Can we talk about how I think of every Marvel movie? I think she is probably the most powerful supporting actor across that universe, and like, it unfortunately never really got talked about how good she was until she passed.
Yeah, she was really good.
Yep.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Five Guys.
I have no idea why Five Guys is trending. What I will tell you is this: as far as the order it online, pick it up on the way home, what an absolute banger of a burger and Cajun fries goes. West Coasters, you're about to get real mad. Five Guys is better than In-N-Out. It just is. If you've never had In-N-Out, and it may just be because the West Coast fans in my life hyped In-N-Out so much that the expectations were too high when I got there, but I'll take a Five Guys over an In-N-Out every time.
It's one of those things where people don't know why it's Xing, but so they're going to talk about it because it's Xing, and mostly about how many fries you get. That's a lot of fries, man.
Yeah. Five Guys is the only place that I do not order a large fry.
Yeah, they just like took
and
a
for
whole,
the record,
whole bag of taters and put it in there.
For the record, thank you, Five Guys.
Yeah, it's
it is appreciated.
Really good fries.
For sure. For sure. Big fan.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, I think it is because he was at a con this weekend, and he was reunited, and it feels so good, with one Kayla Braxton, who those two apparently, they have given each other hell on screen, but apparently are pretty damn buddy-buddy. Well,
you couldn't tell that was all put on. It looked like all those scares and everything through all those years. That was
for sure.
Yeah, I thought.
And I'm here for it. I thought it was adorable, to be honest with you. It was nice. You know, it's just nice to see people loving people.
I did see that. That's not why it's axing, though. It's because, and someone tried to spoil earlier, Zach. It's axing because the one of the rumors is that the fifth member
is Paul Heyman.
Is CM Punk.
Oh. I thought it was going to be Paul Heyman.
A Heyman guy. Yeah, he's not going to do that. He's not going to go
there. Listen. Everybody, okay, what's next? All right, Sammy's back in. You got the OTC bloodline now, and you got the new blind hand.
Yeah, we know who their fifth's going to be. It's going to be The Rock, because Solo dressed as Young Rock the other day, and hardly anyone noticed it, and it became a big deal. He was wearing the turtleneck and the chain when he was in the ring.
That's hilarious. Why would it be The Rock, though? Like, what's the justification?
Because he's been over the new bloodline the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you think that's the new bloodline's fifth?
Yes.
Gotcha. I thought you meant that was Roman's fifth.
No. It's either going to be Cody or someone like that. It's not going to be Seth Rollins. We know that.
Nah, probably not. But you know what? I do like the tie. I do like the tie of having, because you know Heyman's coming back into this angle at some point. So I do like the tie of having Heyman, and he's like, Roman, hear me out on this, but I got a guy. And then he brings, I actually like that. That's fun. I didn't know. You know when we'll book a little fantasy booking? Thursday at 9:20 when we do Fight Club with the great Melanza. Come back tomorrow. Denton Day from SiriusXM is going to join us at 8:40 to talk a little footy. That's all coming up tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upset. Have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Goodbye.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.